Welcome to the Roundtable Podcast on Roundtable Radio. I am Jules.
I am Gideon, and we are sitting here with the fantastic members of South of Bloor. How are you doing, guys?
You guys are doing well. Thanks for having us.
Great.
Our absolute pleasure. And might I say that you guys have one of the most Toronto-tastic band names that I have ever heard. It's very exclamatory. Tell me a little bit about how you came to that name.
Who wants to take that one?
Kind of one of those things where we had about 100 names and all the URLs were taken. Facebook, otherwise. And we liked South of Bloor, so, and there's still a Twitter handle, so we took it.
Nice.
Yeah, just one of those that just kind of stuck. Like, we, you know, went through, like Kev said, 100 of them and then just stuck with it, so...
Yeah, and it's unique enough that it sticks out and it's easily searchable. You guys came together, well, you've described yourself as friends first and foremost. Did you come together as friends or as a group of musicians?
I met Mike and Kev a few years ago in a completely non-musical situation. And we were playing some volleyball at the beach. Actually, very close to where we are right now, actually, a few steps away. And quickly learned that these two guys grew up together, played music, funny enough, played their own respective instruments, bass and drums, and being a guitar player and a singer, you know, it just kind of...
We're a band, like it.
Check it out. Yeah, exactly.
So you guys have been a band since 2010, right?
Yeah.
You've just put out your first recording. Why did you guys wait so long?
It's not that we... wanted to wait. It was just that we were trying to cut corners. sometimes when you cut corners, you end up with a product that you're not happy to share with the world. So what we've done now is kind of taken a step back, looked at what we did, and what we wanted to do was produce some music that we knew that we were capable of making. So then you kind of connect yourself with other talented people, to producers and whatnot, and kind of get that done in a way where it represents the music that you hear for other people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah, we tried doing the live off the floor thing, and you get that live off the floor sound. It doesn't sound big enough. We want to,
it's a little too raw, unedited.
So we wanted something that's mixed really well. We had a great producer in here and at Vespa.
So it sounds like you'd maybe started recording a couple of times, but it wasn't what you wanted, so you ended up holding off?
Yeah, like we had a couple tracks that, were okay. And we posted online and...
kind of use them as demos or whatever?
Exactly. I mean, not that they were awful or anything, it's just... we kind of had an expectation of ourselves to, and also knew what we were capable of. And so once this stuff came out, it's like, we know this is a product we want to push, and we're really proud of it. And it just is what it is. Also too, I think we were in no rush either to get the stuff out to the masses, kind of thing. And so once this came out, we knew this was our best as of yet, and off to the races.
Nice. Now, you've written a lot of songs, as you said, over the years, and you picked these five to be the album. Were they a cohesive whole, or were they the best of what you had, or how did you choose which ones to commit to a recording?
They were probably the newest ones, I'd say. And we've most definitely cross planes in terms of this little journey as band, and when you do that, you learn a little bit more about yourself every stage or so, and this group on the street is probably the most recent. We have other songs as well that maybe didn't make the cut that are also recent, but these were the lyrically and kind of mood the kind of record that we wanted to make.
Thank you.
don't count, and I am the only one who feels this lonely now. Am the only one who feels this ugly now. Am the only one, only one around. And I am the only one who feels this lonely now. Am the only one who feels this ugly now. Am the only one, only one around. Standing on the top, can't remember how I got up the miles of green and blue. I'm so now only one around. Only one around. Only one around. Only one
What's the creative process like for you guys as a band? Does someone bring an idea? Do you jam it out? I mean, you know, how are the songs created?
What we do is we kind of stick to a pretty strict regiment, you know? We jam like...
Lots of push-ups.
Yeah.
They're doing them right now.
Yeah, I make Kevin Berger and do lots of push-ups. So what do we do? We show up to practice with our instruments and a good attitude, and we jam.
No.
we just try to listen to what Coach tells us.
Yeah.
And usually, I say with Dan, he often has sort of like the meat of the idea, and Mike and I, we kind of complement things like different tempos and like those kinds of things. It's pretty like all together process, although like usually it's often like initiated like by Dan, just because he has like either chord progressions or like lyrics or stuff that works, and then but oftentimes too, like we've also come out with like plenty of songs that we just have started out of like a jam, and like you go for, you know, a couple minutes and then it kind of turns into like a chorus that could stick. And so it's like, okay, like let's kind of do this. So
remember, I mean, that. Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I just spilled my beer myself. Often too is, we've had, plenty of songs and like, sure, there is a whole bunch of stuff that, we have like recorded on our phones and all these kinds of things that I have played. And then you kind of forget. And then like, you have to go back like a couple months later to say, hey, you know,
this was cool.
Yeah, exactly. And
absolutely.
Yeah, and so that happens a lot. And I mean,
actually, I think Take Me In was one of those ideas.
Yeah, Take Me In was exactly like one of those ideas, like one that's like, you know, kind of goes on the phone, and then like it's not anyone's like priority until it's like, oh, like, do you remember this? And then like you kind of put some effort into it, and it goes. But
oh, absolutely. I've had a lead singer leave a vocal melody on my answering machine at 3 in the morning. To be like, I can't
exactly
remember
yeah
this.
It's like the driving home in the car, like singing in your phone or whatever. Sure. Yeah.
Now, I was looking at the lyrics of your music, and a lot of it seems like lyrically it's very melancholy, but oftentimes the music is very upbeat. Is that an intentional contrast?
In terms of music and just like taking it for what it is, in terms of the melody and groove of it, I love big choruses, and I love kind of up-tempo stuff, and I love a good groove, and some for sure, like, so the music will be kind of like up tempo or whatever, and you're kind of like thrown for a loop when the lyrics are like you mentioned, melancholy or whatever. That I go through a lot of, you know, as a writer, you just kind of write when you can, and sometimes what comes out is just what comes out. So like, instead of designing a song because you like up tempo music, doesn't mean, you know, you don't necessarily need to write like happy lyrics or whatever, you know. And what it gives us as a band is a different dimension, I think.
Yeah.
So it's not so flat, but, you know, gives it some depth, I think.
When it comes to defining yourselves as musicians, what artists do you take cues from, if any? Or, I mean, maybe you shelter yourself and try not to listen to music when you're writing, but who drives you?
I know for us, Thrice was like a huge influence, like for us growing up, and in terms of like Mike and I like used to be into like the skate punk, like really fast. Like everything was technical to play and like, you know, like the hardcore and like the screamo, like we played in all kinds of bands, like kind of like that. And like kind of like idolized that. Although like a band like Thrice was kind of cool because they sort of grew with us almost in terms of like, you know, their music changes and gets more,
mature,
accessible, mature, like whatever you want to call it. And I mean, like we kind of had not the same kind of feel, although I mean, to me, it's like I would play in almost in any band as long as like I like it and it's good. It can have all kinds of different aspects to it. I mean, there's 1,000 bands who we all like, and it's actually interesting because like I'd say all of our tastes are kind of different, and so I think that kind of mixes well together.
So I told her I was on the run, but I don't know what I'm running from. So she closed her eyes and told me, "Hun, when you get there, be sure I'll be gone." Yeah. Take it on down the street. Oh, I'm gonna take it on down the street. Oh, I'm gonna take it on down the street.
Oh,
Absolutely. You know, if you're in a Southern rock band and everyone in the band only likes Southern rock, you're going to get something kind of bland.
Yeah, like you kind of get cookie cutter stuff because everyone thinks, like, you know, a chorus is supposed to go this way, or like, you know, drums are supposed to go this way. I know for Dan, like, he's done sort of like a good job on myself in terms of like, don't play this way, or like, you know, like, I want to hear it like without any like cymbals or hi-hats or something. And like, I feel like as a drummer that I've sort of grown because of Dan, because it's like, you know, like, you're forced to play things in it's like become creative almost like with how you play something, and like it's not like the average thing like you would play or like something I would sort of go to, and so you have to kind of like, you know, put some thought into it.
Yeah, like you're thinking outside the box a little bit, and you have to, you know, play outside of your comfort zone.
And actually that leads nicely into my next question. When you're writing music, is it more for the audience's experience or more for your own experience that you're sharing with them?
Well, I'd like to think that we're, you know, writing songs that we enjoy to play, like we enjoy playing, but, you know, we think that other people will enjoy too, right? I mean, you know, we're not writing crazy death metal or something that, you know, that it's a niche market. I feel like the songs that we're writing are going to be more accessible to like a wider audience, but you know, we enjoy playing it, we enjoy writing everything ourselves. We're not exactly thinking of the audience. We want to first and foremost write songs that we enjoy playing.
Yeah.
But you know, that being said, we, you know, the songs are poppy and, you know, more people would like them. So
So it sounds like you guys have come in to this band from all sorts of different angles, and that it's come out to mesh in a very nice way. What do you guys attribute to your success as, you know, friends and bandmates being able to kind of stick it out together, or should I say stand each other?
Well, I mean, Kevin and I, we've been, we went to high school together, so we were in bands in high school and multiple bands too. So we've been playing together for a long time. So we have that, that chemistry, I guess you could say, like coming into this project when we met Dan a couple of years ago. And,
you guys know you like to play together, and you know it works.
Yeah, and I mean, we've been playing so long, so I mean, you know, you're not starting off as just a garage band. You already have that chemistry, and you know you can play to each other's strengths, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And Dan, are you coming at it from being in other bands as well, or were you coming at it more from a singer-songwriter standpoint?
Yeah, option B there, like for sure. I always wanted a band. I've had other bands before, but nothing quite like this, where it's really low, like I'm really great friends with these guys sitting beside me, so it's like that helps a lot.
Yeah,
you know, and it totally, like, when you're kind of down about the project, that you still have your friends there, which is huge, and friends can kind of help you get back into the project as well.
Yeah, like, I think that is a big aspect. Like, we all respect each other, and it's almost this unspoken aspect of, like, you know, this is a good time, like, regardless, this is a life experience, and you know, if stuff happens, it's amazing, but we're all pretty good with how we're also all like easygoing guys too, and so it's like, you know, like, you can sort of have things happen, and I mean, like, we don't sort of like step on each other's toes. I mean, sometimes, like, we're a bit too easygoing, and, like, you know, like, there's like lack of opinions and stuff like that, but it's like, at the same time, it's like the process kind of happens, and like, we like appreciate each other and like respect working with each other.
Let's talk a little bit about your definition of success as musicians. And the answer can totally be right here, right now.
I'd say for me, like, it's a pretty loaded question in terms of, we've often asked ourselves, like, what is this? And like, what is our goal? And I mean, it's almost like we're kind of hesitate to answer it, because I mean, it's almost like, let's just keep creating and, like, you know, kind of try our best to produce things. If stuff happens, then great. And if we have to make some decisions down the road of like allotting time in terms of like your job, or like if we had to go like on tour or like those kinds of things, like, let's just kind of cross that bridge when we get to it. This project has been like the most well-received project that like I've ever been a part of, and it's still obviously like pretty early, like in its infancy. And so, like, just to see people be like, oh, I'm like, you know, I'm stoked about this, and like, you know, I'm listening to your album, to me, that's pretty amazing.
and lie. Lie to me tonight. Lie to me so I can get some sleep. And kiss, kiss me on the lips. Tell me that our love don't need a fix. And this is all I want. And you made me want it. And I can't control myself with you. I can go all night without a fight. But you, you know what to do. I don't know what's left for me to do. You made me want this. I made me. Control myself with you.
Does music rank for you in your daily life? You know, is it music, then breathing, or yeah, is it, you know, bike rides, cooking,
bike rides are pretty high,
sleeping, music? You know, I not that you have to answer specifically.
I know personally, it's something. It's a release for me. Writing music, and then hearing it. Hearing it come alive is a very rewarding feeling. I recommend every young adolescent boy to try it, or young boy or girl, whatever. But it's sexist. It's a lot of fun, and yeah. So I mean, like it's very necessary for my routine.
Yeah,
it needs to happen. I can feel the change inside me when it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. I can also vouch for that. It's a great hobby. I mean, like, you know, no matter how serious you are about it, I remember in high school, like when like we first started a band, it like honestly like changes your life. Like you stop doing, you know, stupid things and it's like, oh, let's go practice and like, let's go create things. And it's like,
a cool way to be productive.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, you know, there's no better feeling than being up on stage and having your music heard by a lot of people and people sing your songs and like really enjoying themselves. Like that's pretty rewarding. Yeah. And you know, even just getting together and jamming, it's just fun. So I mean,
hearing good feedback is just great.
Yeah. And I mean, being in a band is a really fun thing, but there is also the business element to it as well. If you want to be a successful musician, you have to manage yourself or someone to do it. How do you balance the work and the fun of being in a band?
Just have to find some time to do it. Social media, you just have to, you know, you just have to put the word out and, you know,
make it fun.
Yeah.
Does everyone have a specific job in the band on the business side?
We try to. That's kind of been, especially as of late, and like since this album has come out, it's kind of like a sticking point of like you know, like who's working harder towards it, and it's tough, man, because like you have your life, and like everyone's got to do like certain things, and I mean, like I know for me, like if I don't do anything, if I have time that I waste that I could have done A, B, or C, like I feel crappy about it. It just is what it is, though. Like, especially at this stage, too, because, like, you're doing everything yourself and, like, no one has any cash to do, I guess, to pay, like, other people to do it. It's tons of work. And, like, especially, like, to get over that hump of, like, you know, like getting actual fans out to your shows and, like, all this kind of stuff. It's tons of work.
Now, one of the things that comes up in the business side of being in a band too is whether or not you charge money for your recordings and your music. So many music fans today are like, I'm not even going to listen to you if I can't download the album.
Sure.
How do you deal with that environment?
When we released the record on the 7th of January, we had it for free for about 2.5 weeks up until the day of the our release event for that record. So that being said, we let everyone we could possibly we've ever even shook hands with, like, this is records for free, please have it, you know.
Yeah.
And so that being said, it's not for free anymore because we're past that date. But what we are offering is a number of different options. We've produced a bunch of physical CDs. And there are
what's
a CD? that's a totally different question. And then so we've got, you know, those kinds of things, and there's the iTunes downloads, and we also have a pay what you can kind of option as well on our Bandcamp. So it's like, you know, because I feel like the music should be available to anyone, like regardless of what they're able to afford, you know. And I don't want to put a price on the record, really. So you pay whatever you want.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that it's very valid to, you know, say that it is actually worth something.
Yeah. You know? Well, we worked hard on it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the reality is that producing a record that kind of makes people listen to it and kind of note it, like, you know, pay attention to the music itself, it costs money. All that stuff costs money. Like, there's a lot of expertise that goes into making those kinds of things, so those people deserve their money too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's not free. It's like this. It's not a free thing. Yeah. So provide it for free, like, that's one thing. But like, I think there's nothing wrong with a band being like, you know, let's do more of this. And the way we can do more of this is a little bit of cash.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Like cash, some kind of support.
Yeah, some kind of financial support.
Absolutely.
But we try to deliver, though, you know, good live performances, and we put a lot of effort into the music, so.
And you do finally have the recording out now, and you released it.
The record was on the 7th of January.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Yeah, yeah, so very recently.
The album was just released, yeah.
Yeah. And you've talked about how 2014 is going to be a big year for the band. What kind of plans do you guys have?
We are going to try to involve ourselves with some of the festivals in Toronto. We'd love to play Hillside and ideally just start playing more shows outside of the city. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of make like a little bit of a plan about, you know, doing a couple different dates in a row.
A little Southern Ontario tour, maybe.
Golden Horseshoe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely no shortage of music fans anywhere in the surrounding
area.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So let's talk a little bit about where people can find you on social media.
We have a Facebook. We have a Twitter. We're kind of all about Twitter right now. So there's that. What else?
And what's your handle for that?
Oh, the handle for Twitter is @_SouthTheBlur, right?
Yeah. Instagram is...
Sure. Our South the Blur band. Yeah,
YouTube. RDO, SoundCloud, yeah. Basically any, you know,
like
music site.
Yeah,
just type in South of Blur and it'll probably come up in Google, I hope.
I haven't Googled it.
No, I haven't Googled.
I haven't Googled ourselves in a while, so I'm hoping it's easy to find.
You speak about that in public, do you?
I've done the old self-Google.
Well, fantastic. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show and telling us about your musicality.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Cheers. It was a pleasure. And thank you out there for listening. This has been the Roundtable Podcast on Roundtable Radio. As always, if you'd like to submit a song, book an interview, or just tell us how much you love us, you can do so at indieroundtable@gmail.com. That's indieroundtable@gmail.com. Yeah, we did. We will be back next week with Toronto's hard rockers, Tiger Star. Stay tuned for that and an acoustic session from them. Until then, happy listening.
Everything and everything is real. The moment that I close my eyes, I'm gone. Tear into the history and everything I am. Family and friends are all I've got. Travel as a wanderer, I fall into her eyes. Once again, the only one who's lost. Hold my breath and put away the things that never sleep. Darkest cloud you've ever seen the sky. I said, oh baby, do you understand? I just can't be everything. I said, oh baby, I'm a tired man. I can't give you anything. The moment that I realize my body's a disguise, I no longer know it's wrong or right. Momentary bravery, sedentary shame, the endless battle living in my mind. Breathing in the memory of everything I am, lost in ways that words cannot describe. Breaking down the everything to find the seed inside. Can't pretend that everything is fine. I said, oh.